You're listening to the Toolstation Western League podcast with Ian Knuckles and Tom Hiscott.
Welcome, listeners, to episode 39 of the Toolstation Western League podcast with me, Ian Knuckles. And I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Tom Hiscott, the editor of the Toolstation Western League Bulletin. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing very well, thanks. And yourself?
I'm not bad. Yeah, I'm surviving. Good. Yeah. And we've got a really exciting episode of the Western League podcast for you this evening because it's our Champions edition. We have got the champions of our Premier Division, Helston Athletic. Matt Cusack's kindly agreed to do another interview with us. And in the First Division, Kai Mountford, the manager of Portishead Town. We've spoken to him as well. So that's absolutely fantastic to celebrate the achievements of both of those sides. We will also be looking ahead to the playoffs that are going on. Actually, of course, by the time they've gone on, by the time you're listening to this, they will have happened. The key date really is Saturday, the 4th of May. So hopefully through our social media channels, you will have found out who's actually got through to those finals. And we've got some exciting news about the Les Phillips Cup final as well. I think a lot of the housekeeping stuff we do about the goal scorers and about the league tables, we will leave until next week's podcast. Yes, listeners, we will be bringing you another episode next week after our playoffs are concluded. And actually, we've still got, because of the weather, we've still got a few games in the league to conclude as well. So we'll get them done. And then we can bring you all the statistics, Tom.
Statistics, damn lies and statistics.
Very much so. All the statistics and facts and figures about this season in the Toolstation Western League podcast. But we will kick off with games played on Saturday, the 27th of April. And we are starting in the beautiful county of Devon. Two of the big boys, Barnstable Town against Buckland Athletic, came up against each other, Tom. Who came off on top?
It was Buckland on this occasion. Yeah, 2-1 win for them away from home. So top stuff. They haven't quite made the playoffs, unlike their hosts. So Barnstable need to rebound quickly from this defeat. But yeah, it was a great final day victory for Buckland. First half goals for them from Kieran Bridger and also Owen Stockton, giving them the 2-1 win. There was a late consolation from Barnstable, pretty much the last kick of the game, from Tor Swan. But that was the only blemish on an otherwise perfect afternoon for Buckland, who prevailed away from home.
Now, a slightly more comprehensive result at Bridgewater United, perhaps unsurprising against the opposition Millbrook. What we can say, though, in front of a very good crowd, is that, Millbrook did put up a fight, Tom, didn't they?
Certainly did, yeah. And getting a couple of goals themselves. Obviously, it's been a tough campaign. I know they've still got at least one or two matches left over the final week, playing a little bit of catch-up. But yeah, big crowd there on Saturday at Fairfax, 301. And lots of goals for the entertainment for those that were there. Biggest scorers on the final day were Bridgewater, prevailing by 6-2. And it was, an early deficit they suffered in this one. So Millbrook did take a surprise lead before Bridgie battled back, with Jason Quick, Jack Taylor and Jay Murray all scoring in the final 5 minutes of the first half to turn the game very much in their favour. So trailing 1-0 after around 40 minutes or so, suddenly a 3-1 advantage at the break. So, yeah, big turnaround there. And as I say, from there on, they did push on. Taylor striking again to get the scoring going really early in the second half before completing his hat-trick from the spot, making it 5-1. And then it was Jack Fawn who scored the sixth. That's his 31st in all competitions this year. So, yeah, another one of our hot shots. So, yeah, nice warm-up for the Bridgewater front line ahead of their playoff push.
Well, from 8 goals, we've got one solitary goal between Falmouth Town and Oldland Abertonians. Oldland haven't had the best of seasons, but they did acquit themselves well at Falmouth, limiting the hosts to that solitary winner, Tom.
Absolutely, yeah, and another big crowd worth mentioning there. So over 350 at Falmouth. We know they've got a great following, haven't they? And that wasn't a ton to cheer on the final home game of the season, but a 1-0 win. Well, league, obviously, they've got playoffs coming up, but the final regular season game, a 1-0 win, but it was another one of our hot shots. I mentioned 4-1 in the last game for Bridgewater. We've got Oscar Massey of Falmouth, another one who's up among the leading scorers this year, and he was on target again for Falmouth in their 1-0 win over Auckland.
And one final game to talk about in the Premier Division. Normally, we don't talk about nil-all draws, mm-hmm. but on this occasion, we're going to make an exception because Helston Athletic, our league champions, took on high-flying Clevedon Town, of course, a side that had been hunting them down for most of the season. And, well, I guess the Somerset side acquitted themselves well, but perhaps it was partly due to the party atmosphere at mm-hmm. Helston.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Helston obviously had that huge win in the earlier in the week over Falmouth, and yeah, I think that pretty much wrapped up the title, didn't it? So again, another party for them on Saturday, as you say, goalless draw. But yeah, Clevedon, having been their equal for much of the campaign, I was thinking back to earlier in the season, and these two looked to be those that would tussle for the title, and obviously in the end, it has played out in Helston's favour. And yeah, a goalless draw on that for them on the final day at home to Clevedon.
Now, of course, if you're a Helston fan, there is lots of excellent footage on YouTube from Pirron Films chronicling this season and the run-in that's seen Helston lift the league title. For us here on the podcast, I'm very grateful that Matt Cusack has agreed to come back for one last time. It was great to speak to Matt and congratulate him on winning the league title. We know that Helston are a side with ambition. So I started off my interview with Matt by asking him whether he was delighted with the league title or relieved.
Absolutely delighted, mate. You know, fantastic feeling to finally get over the line. It was a big couple of weeks to finish the season. Lots of games. It felt like we were playing every other day, which we pretty much were. And, you know, to catch up on the backlog of those fixtures. And I know all teams are the same, but we had some really big fixtures for us across that back end of the season. And we managed to stand up to the test. So, yeah, absolutely delighted with the boys and we're so proud of them.
Because I know you're a really ambitious club. And I know that promotion was the objective. But I'm sure that winning the league must have been the way that you wanted to go up.
Yeah, absolutely. I think anybody would be lying if they said that they didn't want to win a league. But I think it's a double-edged sword because you've got to be very careful when you're setting targets at the start of the year. I think, you know, everybody would wish that they could win a league, but only one team can. So, and I think it's a very dangerous thing to set your stall out and say, we're going to win the league. And that certainly wasn't the case for us. But we felt that we had the squad that was capable of challenging for a title. And so that was very much the target and just see where we fell within that. Obviously, with the excitement of the playoffs this year, if we didn't win the league, then you might get still gain promotion. So we felt that we were capable of a title challenge, and so that was very much the target. But to actually secure the league title, yeah, absolutely ecstatic and delighted.
Was there ever a time when you thought you wouldn't make it?
Do you know what? There wasn't, and that's just my inner belief in the group, and it's not something that I would have shared more widely because, again, you're setting yourself up for a fall. But I have total faith in the players and the personnel that we were working with. Speaking to some of the boys on the Saturday evening just gone, a few of them felt that we'd blown it when we lost at Wellington a few weeks back because we obviously set ourselves up then for three games on the spin against top six teams in our league, each with their own subplots. You know, we went to Barnstable on a Tuesday evening, and that's a hard enough place to go on a Saturday, let alone a Tuesday evening. But Barnstable was a team that had beaten us twice already this season, 2 weeks prior to that in the Les Phillips Cup semi-final as well. And then we had, obviously, our arch rivals Falmouth on the Thursday, and then Buckland on the Saturday. And we had beaten Buckland already on two occasions in a season. I just think that at any level of football, it's really difficult to beat a team three times in a season. So they all had their own subplots. Obviously, with us drawing at Barnstable, I think Falmouth won that night, so they went 3 points clear, and then we had Falmouth on the Thursday. So, yeah, it was a big 6 days for us, but I never doubted the players because I knew, I'd spent 10 and a half months with them on the training ground, training in the wind and the rain most of the time. And you know, they've got good characters and good resilience, and I just felt like if we could just manage that squad properly, and you know, get some results, I felt that we could pick up some momentum. And I think the turning point was the sort of second half at Barnstable, because we went in, sort of changed our shape in the first half, went in with slightly different personnel in the midfield area, and although we were 2-0 down, we actually sort of came in, scratched our heads a little bit, because I felt we played really well in that first half, but just found ourselves 2 goals behind. So we challenged the boys to just go and get the next goal and just see what happens. And yeah, we did that. In fact, we got 2 inside the first 10 minutes and pulled it back to 2-2. They then went on to score the third, but even then we showed good character after that to come back and get the equaliser, and arguably could have won the game after that. We had a couple of other chances as well where the ball was bouncing the box a lot. It just didn't seem to fall for us. But that draw, it felt like a win. And even though obviously it was just the 1 point, and Falmouth were then in the ascendancy because they got the win that night at home to Ilfracombe, I think it was. We had great confidence going into that Thursday game. And knowing full well as well that the last time we played Falmouth at Bicklin Park on Boxing Day, we lost the game 1-0, but I actually felt we played really well. In fact, we arguably played better that day than we did when we beat them in the cup down there earlier in the season. So that gave us real momentum, that Barnstable game going into the Falmouth game. And again, we put in a great shift that evening to secure the 1-0 win. And then that gave us great belief going to the Saturday. I never shared it with the players that, in my mind, I feel like it's hard to beat a team 3 times in a season. So I didn't really make it about winning when we approached the Buckland game. It's just very much about trying to back up the performance, if you will, from the Falmouth game. And we got off to a great start in that one as well. So, to secure that victory, and then obviously with Falmouth losing to Shepton on that day, we felt at that point we really did have one hand on the title, obviously just needing the victory at Torr Point with our game in hand to secure it. And that's what happened.
You've mentioned so many sides there, you know, the likes of Barnstable, Buckland, Falmouth, and of course Clevedon have been on your coattails all season, probably in a way that many of us who follow Western League football wouldn't have expected. You know, Bridgewater have been there as well. So was there one side that you felt, if you could finish above them, you would win the title?
I always felt it was Bridgewater in the early exchanges of the season. They were there or thereabouts last season, weren't they? Felt that they had recruited well. Not that the other sides didn't, but they did as well. But I just felt that they would really push for that title this year. And so I felt that anybody that would finish above Bridgewater would win the title. But that was my feeling sort of earlier in the season, really. But you mentioned those other sides there. Bridgewater, we did a lot better against them this year. We took 4 points from 6, whereas last year I think we took 1 point from 6. And against, you know, Clevedon as well, we managed to take 4 points from 6. So against some of those other sides in that top 6, if you will, we had a good return this year. And I think that was the difference in comparison to last year when we look back on it. So, but the thing about this Western League, Ian, is that if you're not at it, any team can take a point off you and from each other. And, you know, looking at that day where we lost to Wellington took 4 points from us. You know, we've ended up as league champions. And Wellington, who have progressed and seem to have picked up results as the season's progressed, they took 4 points off us. And it just, you know, proves that any team can take points off you in this Western League. And I think on that day where we lost to Wellington, Falmouth drew at Oldland, and I think Bridgewater drew to Saltash. So there are probably a few coupon busters there, really, if people were being honest. But that's the nature of the league. It's a tough league. And, you know, some very well-coached and well-drilled teams. And if you're not at it and you're having a bit of an off day, you know, you can come unstuck. And that's what's happened along this journey to, I'd say, all teams at the top.
It feels a little bit mean-spirited to talk about your last game in negative terms. Obviously, you drew at home to Clevedon Town. I mean, you've done the hard work, it has to be said. But, I mean, how do you reflect on that performance against a good Clevedon side?
Well, I said to the boys, you know, I want a performance today before the party, because we were staying down. We were celebrating, obviously, the league title down at Helston. And the lads had one eye on that. And in my experience, if they've got an eye on a night out, they might take their eye off the ball on the, you know, during the actual match itself. So we got parts of the performance. It wasn't a poor performance, but I think we got a performance that was reflective of a team that had just secured a title and didn't really have to have that edge to go and get something. I did wonder, I did reflect on it, and I actually did think that had we needed, say, 3 points from that game, I think we may have got a different Helston performance. But despite our best efforts from myself and Dan, my assistant, you know, we tried to get the boys going, and it's not that they weren't at it, that they just, you know, they gave us a performance that demonstrated they probably had one eye on the evening shenanigans, if you will, and they probably deserved that. So, but that's not that we didn't, you know, do our very best and utmost to try and win the game, and also we'd be doing a disservice to Clevedon, who are a very well drilled, well coached outfit. I'm a big fan of Alex, their manager, and they've had a terrific season.
They certainly have, and so have you. So let's turn our thoughts to next season. Have you started to think about life in the Southern League and what that's going to mean for Helston Athletic?
Yeah, we met a while ago with the chairman because we had to start planning ahead in the event that it did happen. So I didn't think, you know, I think it would have been ill-advised just to leave it to the end and just see what happens, because then you are sort of chasing your tail a little bit in terms of planning. So we had forward plan. We factored in sort of the additional travel and things like that. So at a club level, that planning has been ongoing for a while, in the event that we did manage to get promotion either via the automatic position or via the playoffs. Obviously, we've got that automatic position. So we're very much at a club level trying to work our way towards the Southern League requirements. I believe that Townsdale's got to go in terms of ground improvements and things like that. So Paul is managing all that, the chairman, Paul Hendy. But in terms of the squad, I think for us it'll be a case of evolution, not revolution. Having worked at that level before with Plymouth Parkway, it is a step up, of course it is. But I believe that we've got a very good squad that can operate at a high level anyway. So it'll be very much a case of evolution within our squad, not revolution. And then, so we want to get the recruitment right, get the people in that we want to get in, you know, to help us at that next level. And then, you know, I've already been in contact with some managers around friendlies and things like that. But yeah, I want to get all that sorted really, and then just have a break and switch off for a few weeks, a month, whatever it is, before we get going again.
Very understandable. But finally, we need to have a word about your supporters and volunteers. Now, many people, of course, will be familiar with Steve Massey's passionate coverage of many of your games on YouTube. But for the people that we don't hear about, those people behind the scenes at Helston, can you tell us what it means to them? What your achievement in winning the Western League, getting promotion to the Southern League, what does it mean to them?
I think they showed their passion on Saturday night, sort of in the clubhouse, and people, you know, were coming up and you know, almost embracing me, hugging me, shaking my hand, thanking me so much for the, you know, for steering this team into, you know, the Southern League. But as I said to those people, you know, this has been a big team effort. This isn't just me. Yeah, all right, I may have had a vision, but it's about everybody enacting that vision to be able to get the job done. But you know, for those stakeholders within the club and all the volunteers and the supporters that come along, you know, they can bask in that success as much as the players and the management team. So, yeah, you know, we're one big team and we couldn't do it without them. So, yeah, delighted for them as well.
Excellent. Matt, this is one of the hardest things I ever have to say on the podcast, because, you know, it's been lovely having you, and very, very good luck in the future. Part of me wants to say I hope we don't see you again, but there's a part of me that does. Please take that in the way that it's meant. Congratulations on everything you've achieved.
Thank you, Ian, and well done for getting the podcast out each week, mate. I know it's a big ask and a big task to be interviewing people on their schedules, so... yeah, you keep up the great work, mate, in promoting sort of Southwest football, particularly around the Western League, and we'll touch base soon.
Now, Tom, a message from our sponsor.
Whatever the job, with over 25,000 products in stock and ready to go, you can click, collect and conquer at Toolstation.
Now we'll turn our attention to the First Division, and we'll kick off with one of our playoff teams, Wells City, travelling to AEK Boko. AEK Boko, a very difficult place to go for any team, and so it proved on Saturday, Tom.
Absolutely, yeah. Wells pretty fortunate to come away with a point on the final day. And yeah, they did trail pretty late on in this one. Substitutes Jack Shepherd-Cousins and Mickey Parsons both scoring for the hosts to put them 2-1 up. But Wells did, to their credit, battle until the final minutes. Late leveller from Chris Pyle managed to make it 2-2. And that was how it remained. So, yeah, a point for both sides on the final day.
Things a little more clear-cut between Brislington and Warminster, as you would expect. Six goals in this game, but in seasons gone by, Brislington would have expected to have scored the Avalanche. Warminster, who haven't had the best of seasons, but they put up a good fight away at their high-flying hosts.
Yeah, they absolutely did, yes. A 4-2 win for Brislington. And, yeah, it was, again, a nice tune-up for them ahead of the playoffs. Pretty good goal difference for them this year. So, as you say, they would have potentially fancied to score a few more. But, yeah, I think 4's a nice amount for them before the end of season stuff. So, yeah, we've got a couple of goals in the second half from Jay Malpas and Vinny Sweet, which helped help push Brislington over the line in this one in a 4-2 win over Warminster.
And another one of our playoff sides, Wincanton Town, they travelled to Keynsham. Now, Keynsham have shown signs of finishing this season very, very strong. We know they're good at home. But Wincanton, I think we can safely say, Tom, were at the races on Saturday, the 27th of April.
We'd love getting that one in there. Yeah, they were. Another side's win by 4-2. So, yeah, good away win for the Wasps at Keynsham, who, as you say, have been on a real good run. A couple of wins on the bounce, and they managed to get a couple of goals again for themselves on the weekend. Tyler Linton scoring in either half, but it didn't quite prove to be enough, and Wincanton strong enough to hold off their charge and prevail eventually. A couple of goals as well for the away side from Sam Fisher and also Matt Garner, who's he's their leading scorer this year. He's one to look out for, scores plenty of headers. Wincanton 4-2 winners away at Keynsham.
Now, one final game, and that is Portishead Town against Hallam. And, of course, regular listeners to the podcast will know we always like to get sides on when they've had a positive result. And what better time to get a side on when they've had a positive result than our first division winners, Portishead Town? But Hallam, Tom, had other ideas.
Absolutely did, yeah. So it's a little bit similar to Helston. I'm sure there was plenty of celebrating going on over in Portishead in recent days. And unlike as usual for them, they didn't manage to even score on the weekend. So a 2-0 loss for them on the final day. But they do finish with 99 points. So, yeah, an incredible campaign for Town. But it was a defeat. But Hallam very much informed themselves. I think that means they've got 5 wins in 6. So, finishing the season with aplomb. And it was a couple of goals in either half from regular goal scorers, really. Elliot Gardner and Corey Thomas-Barker doing the business for Hallam. And, they head off with a 2-0 win from Portishead.
Not so much a case of being on the beach, or probably a case of being in the pub.
Could be.
Portishead Town.
Could well be.
But for Kai Mountford and his men, it was mission accomplished. And that's how I started our interview on this week's podcast.
Yes, thanks, Ian. Very much so, mate. To win the league, first time Portishead is going to be at step 5 for 112 years. Yeah, it's beyond our expectations of a club and the first year as a manager. So, the player deserves all the
I know from our conversations throughout the season that you've wanted a play down expectation, which is entirely understandable and, you know, a correct thing to do in the situation. But when was it this season that you actually thought this is our title to lose? If we don't go on and win this, then we won't have done ourselves justice.
Don't really know. We had a bit of a sticky patch after Christmas. We lost to Wincanton, we drew with Norman Queen, and then after that we had a sort of a good run of games, and I think the Ogden game where we won by quite a few. I think I sings on that day that was the turning point. I think that I thought, yeah, this is even though we had so many games to catch up on, and we were sort of in second and third for a lot of that period. I did think we like you said, I think it was ours to lose, and would have been very, very disappointed if we didn't win the league, because we were playing such good football and playing the right way, and everything sort of fell into place. So,
think that was probably the one that I drove back from that game and thought, yeah, it's if I don't do it now, it's my fault.
The funny thing about the games in hand situation, historically, and under a normal season, games in hand has meant that clubs that, you know, are winning regularly have got momentum that can put pressure on the teams above them, and they can catch them and they can go past them. But the longer this season went on and the worse the weather got, did you worry that actually if you got a spate of injuries, if you hit a patch of bad form, those games in hand could count against you?
Definitely. I think Will Justin, the Bitter manager, said on this podcast, and I think you asked him about when teams at the top and stuff like that, and rightly so, like you said, it's not hindrance, because you've obviously got points to play, but yeah, the game's stacking up, and the terrible weather, sort of us and Brisington and they're still playing now, plus the money. It did worry me, yeah, and many meetings at the club and stuff like that. It did. We were playing the last 3 weeks of the season. We played 3 games a week, so I don't know how we would have played 4 or 5. And yeah, we had lots of injuries even playing those games. So yeah, I think any sort of more would have definitely was a worrying time.
Now, as an impartial observer, it was interesting to see the race at the top of the First Division, because although you always felt like the team to beat, there were other teams in and around you that were hunting you down throughout the season. The obvious one, of course, is Radstock. They stuck with you like glue for most of the season, although for most of it, to be fair, you seemed to have a little bit of distance. There was a little bit of daylight between them. But then there was the spectre of Brislington, and Brislington was a subject that never seemed to go away from the interviews I had with pretty much all of the managers in the First Division. Everybody expected them to go on the sort of run like they did last season that would put real pressure. So were you very conscious of the chasing pack? Did you ever feel that you were out in front, or did you always feel that you were in a real title race?
Oh, definitely. I think, like said, the teams you mentioned, and the Wincannon obviously had a great run. The Wells weren't going away with their run. The Bitten, again, were crew reserves were obviously doing their thing and winning lots of games. And like you said, my old mate Radstock and Will McRae and Radstock were obviously fighting out. And like you rightly said, versus Brisington, where, like you said, the players they had, I think the 2 times I've been on air, players they have, and I expected them to real mount a challenge. And even looking back on the 2 games we played them, it was excellent games. Both for me, it was the 2 best sides. I think Lee said it, so I mean echoing what he said. But watching those 2 teams go at it, we lost one and won one, fortunate enough. But then it was excellent, top. Level opposition, both play football the right way. So I was very much so. Yeah, I think the guy who does the bulletin with you, when I listened to his podcast, he kept saying is very exciting. I thought not for the manager, if it is, unfortunately.
Now, we've obviously, as you know, as a regular listener to the podcast, we do have a tendency to talk about the last game you played, and that was a loss to Hallen. Now, I'm sure you would have liked to sign off with a win, but I mean, you know, do you think your boys can have been an excused a game on the beach?
Oh yeah, it was just a game too far. Like I said, I think 6 games in 12 days. That was a 6th game. With such a small squad we have, our worst performance of the season by a country mile. We were awful in all areas. But that week, obviously, after we won the title, to go and beat Cribbs up there 2-0, who are a great side, and then local Derbyshire to win 3-0 there on the Wednesday, I give the lads a bit of leeway in the the days off the last game of the season when you won the league, then I'll take that all day long.
Absolutely right. Well, let's talk about next season. How do you feel about taking Portishead into the Premier Division of the Western League?
Well, I haven't agreed to actually do it yet, with all due respect, for another year. That's a conversation. We have a meeting next Tuesday to do it. I want to do it, and obviously, but there's a few factors that obviously have to align, mainly family life. We were chatting before coming on, and I have to make sure I'm fully ready to go in that respect. And so, but yeah, it's exciting times down for that. It's like I said, first time in 112-year history to play at step five against all the good teams in that Premier Division in an exciting league. And I was lucky enough to win that up down. And I know what sort of great teams there are in it, massive teams. So it's exciting, yeah, really exciting. And yeah, I think the club should enjoy themselves.
I mean, when you look at the sides around you, I mean, obviously we talk every week about the big sides in the Premier Division, and obviously the likes of Helston and Falmouth are very much, you know, in that conversation. Barnstable as well, Buckland.
Yeah.
But we look at what's gone on at Bridgewater, we look at Clevedon, and actually I think for a team coming out of the First Division, the blueprint that's gone on at Nailsea and Tickenham is not one to be sniffed at. So if you had to pick a sort of team in, you know, near you, geographically near you, that you would like to see Portishead follow, you know, which are the clubs that you think that you could emulate realistically next season?
Yeah, I think like you said, all the teams, Nailsea and Tickenham, Clevedon, they've done excellent. They've done excellent for the area. Obviously, the three of us built so close together. They've done amazing. And for, like I said, Cleveland's always the big one. Lucky enough to play there for a few years in the Southern League, and the beautiful grounds, a huge club in the Southern Prem and stuff like that, and always been a huge, huge club. So for, you know, Portishead to be coming up against them and Bridgewater, and like you said, the Barnstables and Falkirk, it would be amazing. It would be absolutely amazing. So, yeah, I think if we can be a challenge, because I think that the step up is huge. But the challenge that the club's really, really looking forward to. So if we can, and we get the good days, the good derbies against the teams you just mentioned.
Kai, you have earned a holiday. You have earned yourself a rest. Congratulations, sincerely meant, on what you've achieved this season, and I very much hope that I get to speak to you again on next season's Western League podcast.
Thank you, mate. Means a lot. Keep on a good work.
And my thanks to Kai for his time. We look ahead, obviously, Tom, to the fixtures coming up, normally on the coming Saturday. And the weird thing about this episode of the podcast is we're going to talk about games that the listeners will already know the results of because of the magic of podcastery, which is what we're all about here. So in the First Division, we have Wincanton Town taking on Wells, and we have Radstock taking on Brislington. These games are being played on Tuesday, the 30th of April. In the Premier Division, we have Bridgewater United against Clevedon Town, and we have Falmouth Town against Barnstable Town. And the winners of those games will be facing each other in the final. And of course, we don't know now who is going to be facing who. Those finals will be played on Saturday, the 4th of May. Those kickoffs at the normal 3 o'clock time. But of course, for regular listeners of the podcast, they will know that every week for the last few months, we've been doing Tom versus Ian, which we will give the listeners a roundup of how we've got on, Tom. I know you're fascinated to know how you've got on. I am very pleased to say, I'm not going to go into the statistics now. That's the second time I've said that on this podcast. Mm-hmm. It worked a lot better than the first time I said it.
Came out beautifully.
But I have closed the gap.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And it's so a lot. There's so the tension on here. There's drama.
Absolutely.
I think I might have a chat with James Healy in the week. Actually, I've mentioned James. I mentioned him, I think, a podcast or so ago. He's not been well. He's home. He's a lot better than he was. He's been through, you know, he's been through the mill and back, but he's a lot better, and he's back in charge of our social media and doing his magic. So we're really great. We're really grateful to have James back, and he is, you know, he is recovering from what was a really nasty incident there. So it's great to have him back. But yes, it's very close, Tom. We're going to get the listeners completely engaged in Tom versus Ian. And I think we could do no better thing than, even though this is a completely ridiculous and superfluous section of this week's podcast, because everybody will know the actual results of this game. You and I are going to predict how our playoff semi-finals are going to go. We're going to start off in the Premier Division. We're going to start off with Bridgewater United against Clevedon Town. How's it going to go, Tom?
I think there's more pressure on it, knowing that people are going to listen to this, knowing the results, because they can laugh at us even more urgently. Well, there is that. There is that.
Not laughing with us.
So I'm going to tell you, listeners, that the scoreline you'll have enjoyed on Tuesday night is going to be a 1-0 win for Clevedon away at Bridgewater, which will mirror both results from earlier in the season, where Clevedon have also prevailed by 1-0. So I'm going to go with a hat-trick of 1-0 wins for Clevedon this year over Bridgewater. That's my prediction for Tuesday night.
Right. Bridgewater 2, Clevedon United 1.
Ooh.
There you go.
Okay.
The point of difference.
Absolutely.
I don't really want to be drawn on why I think that, but I feel the need to justify that opinion. Bridgewater's home support is absolutely immense. It's fantastic. And I don't think that will necessarily phase Clevedon. But I think in this type of cup game, we've seen it in the Vars. I mean, Bridgewater United were a side that went to Farnham. I don't know. I've seen things on the BBC that have talked about the unbeatable Farnham, that they've gone through an entire season, like the Invincibles. They've gone through a season where they've been beaten. Well, that's complete nonsense, because Bridgewater dumped them out the FA Vars. So there you go. Right, I've got to calm down. Okay, Falmouth against Barnstable. What's going on there?
Falmouth against Barnstable. I'm going to go with a home win in this one. I think I do back Falmouth. You've just mentioned about Bridgewater's home support. I think Falmouth, we know, I'm sure there'll be plenty in attendance there on Tuesday. And I will say they win by 3-0. I'm going to go for a pretty comprehensive home victory.
I'm going to agree with you that Falmouth will win. But I think they are going to struggle past Barnstable. I think that there's a huge amount on this game. I think Falmouth have got what they need to win, but I think Barnstable are going to give them a really, really hard time. I think Falmouth are going to win this by 1-0. Okay, now then, in the first division then, Wincanton take on Wells City.
This is a tough one, this. This is a very tough one. I feel like these sides are pretty evenly matched. That would be my take away from that. I mean, they finished 1 point apart, so I don't know who I'm. Yeah, it's not exactly breaking news that these teams are evenly matched. I think the games between them, I think they were both won by the home side, so I wonder if that again plays into Wincanton's advantage. So I'm going to say that I'm assuming these games go to extra time and whatnot, but I will say that Wincanton eventually win by 2-1, but that's a toughie.
I feel naked, Tom, that I don't actually know whether they do go to extra time. That's the sort of important information that we should be bringing the listeners. Anyway, never mind that. I'm going to say in the 90 minutes, Wincanton Town win 2-0.
2-0. There we go.
Because they'll be at the races.
They will.
Right then. And the next game is going to be fascinating, because it's going to be the game that I'm at. So this is sort of like my Back to the Future moment. I feel like Marty McFly. Redstock Town against Brislington, Tom. How did this one play
out?
Well,
I feel like if you're going to be there, I feel like I'm going to have to let you go first on this one. Give you a bit of an advantage, maybe.
I'm going to go Redstock Town 2, Brislington 1.
Oh, exactly what happened last Tuesday. So can they turn the table? I don't think they can. I'm going to say, I'm going to go likewise. I think Radstock will win again. And I'll say it will be very tight, and I'm going to go 1-0. I'm saying these first division playoffs are impossible to pick. I will go Radstock 1, Brislington 0.
Excellent stuff. Well, that was incredibly painful, as it always is every week. Right then. One last piece of housekeeping before we sign off on this week's edition of the Tool Station Western League podcast is also to promote our Les Phillips Cup final, our League Cup final, of course, which is taking place at Tiverton on Sunday, the 12th of May. Now, the two sides in the final are Shepton Mallet and Barnstable Town. Of course, Barnstable still involved in our playoffs, so still with plenty to play for this season. The kickoff will be at 3 o'clock and it is at Tiverton Town. So we really do hope that we see as many Western League fans there as possible. One fan we won't see is Neil Stevenson. Now, Neil has been taken ill and unfortunately has had to step away from his role at Shepton Mallet. I know the club are very sad about the situation that Neil finds himself in, because he's a very important and valued member of that particular football club. So that's why we've taken the opportunity to give Neil a special shout out on this week's Tool Station Western League podcast. I know that he will be glued to the result coming out of that Les Phillips Cup final. Can Shepton Mallet go one better than last season? Will Barnstable Town take silverware from this season? That's all the drama that we will be bringing you on next week's Tool Station Western League podcast. Before I sign off, of course, in the time-honoured tradition, Tom, we have been talking about your excellent bulletin, and that is on the Western League website, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. As you say, James is back to being an absolute legend, so he was able to publish that on the weekend. And that looks back at all the results. Not quite the finalised tables yet. As you say, we've still got a few league matches we're picking up on over the next couple of days, and back into Bank Holiday Monday. I think we've got a couple of games as well. So yeah, but that's the bulletin that comes out every week, and that's on the website on the homepage. And if you scroll down a little bit, you'll be able to find that again this weekend.
Excellent stuff. Now, we will be joining you next week when we'll be looking back on the playoffs and those finals that were played out on Saturday, the 4th of May, and looking ahead once more to that Les Phillips Cup final that's going to be played on Sunday, the 12th of May, at Tiverton Town Football Club. But for this week, you have been listening to the Tool Station Western League Podcast.